Welcome to the GI Cancer Podcast, brought to you by the European Society of Digestive Oncology.
Hi all, I'm Dr. Violaine Rondrian from Poitiers in France, and I am really happy to have Dr. Benoît Rousseau, who is a GI oncologist and physician scientist at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, New York, USA. We will discuss this very exciting topic, which is duration of neoadjuvant setting in MSI gastrointestinal cancers, with Dr. Rousseau, who is a specialist in that field. So thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Dr. Rondrian, for having me discussing this very hot topic at the moment. It's a very active field with many, many clinical trials and translational studies going on, and I'm delighted to speak about it with you today.
Yeah, so let's start with rapid description of the research landscape in that setting, meaning the neoadjuvant treatment in MSI gastrointestinal cancers. Could you help us with that?
I think the, across the last 5 years, we have now a bit more than 20 studies that has been published in the field, mainly in GI cancers, early stage mismatch repair deficient cancers. So we can separate these trials in by histology and tumor types. So some are doing colon, some are doing rectal cancer, some are mixing colon and rectal. Some others are just focusing on gastric cancers. And some others are also including other rare GI cancers, MMRD, like small bowel cholangiocarcinoma. Basically, we can separate these studies in different types. So most of them study single agent anti-PD-1 or anti-PD-L1 with different duration of treatments. We have a combination of treatment with anti-PD-1 and anti-CTLA-4. And now we start to have novel combination as well, like anti-PD-1 plus anti-LAG-3, combination of targeted therapies with anti-PD-1. But most of the studies has been published for colorectal and anti-PD-1 and anti-CTLA-4, anti-PD-1 combined. And I will say that we have stronger evidence for now for colorectal cancer as a whole, and a bit in gastric cancer, especially the combination. And the big part is that depending on the duration of treatments and the goal of care, some studies study short-term treatments, single agent or doublet, and they focus on pathological complete response rate as an endpoint. And some of our studies more recent tend to offer a longer duration of treatment, and they try to get the patient to get a clinical complete response, and then they follow up the patient using organ sparing strategies. So you always have to keep that in mind, that we are not looking at the same thing, pathological complete response and clinical complete response, that is more sometimes difficult to define depending on the tumor type. Another point of importance is that when the studies were originally designed, we were not knowing what we would get for clinical complete response, and this was defined almost while the protocol were ongoing, including in our own experience in MSK. And most of the time, you have to combine radiology, endoscopy, PET-CT, and even maybe now ctDNA assessment, to be sure that you have really a complete response and you can safely follow up your patient compared to having a surgery. So I think it's a very important point to mention. And one thing that is already known and published in multiple studies is that when you get a longer duration of treatment, you are more likely to get a complete response. And most of the studies doing long-term treatment show that the median time to get a complete response, at least for anti-PD-1 single agent, is around 5 to 6 months. So that has been already published in different articles. It seems that that duration to get to the complete response seems shorter with the combination. But at the moment, we don't have any real strong evidence what is the best duration of treatment. It's what we are going to discuss today, what we can do, what we should do, if we have to follow up the patient a bit more to get deeper response. That is still an ongoing field.
Yeah, so you brought like kind of some keywords. Thank you for dissecting for us that landscape. So I understood that there was like colorectal, like two dimensions actually. So the primary tumor type, like colorectal, upper GI, and others in one dimension. And in the second dimension, I would say the type of treatment, like single agent, double agents, and combination with targeted therapies. So, and you brought that very breaking news, like single agent 5.5 to 6 months is actually doing the best.
Yeah, we even have some people that investigated longer. But when you look at the different type of duration, for instance, we start to have like multiple studies doing 1.5 months to 3 months. And when you are around 1.5 months to 3 months, well, we can tell that we are around 50% of complete response with anti-PD-1 single agent. So we have like multiple studies, they are concordant. When you get to 4 months or 5 months, you are more around 75%. And in the last reports and other studies, we in rectal cancer, it has been published now that the complete response rate was 100% with 6 months, that may be a bit specific maybe to rectal cancer, but even if you include colon cancer, some studies, they also report outstanding complete response rate with a single agent that can go up to 80, 90%. So that, I think, it's a key to understand that the longer the treatment, the better you get complete response rates.
So far, so I understand that this is coming from the shorter trials like the Imhotep or NeoPrism trials as compared to the trials with longer anti-PD-1 treatment like the dostarlimab trial or some Asian trials that were conducted. And you were underlining that it might be better in rectal cancer. So could you develop a little about the specificities of the cancer types?
It's a good point. So first, rectal cancer and colon cancer, they can be MSI-H, mismatch repair deficient. What we know is that the biology can be a bit different. So we tend to have more Lynch syndrome for patients with rectal cancer, for instance. The prevalence of Lynch is higher. We have less patients with hypermethylation of MLH1. While in the right-sided cancers that are more colon cancers, we have more patients with MLH1 hypermethylation, a bit less Lynch syndrome, and it was reported, especially in the NICHE trial, historically, that the patients with Lynch syndrome, they were doing better with the anti-PD-1 treatment. So one thing that can drive this difference is also the prevalence of the Lynch cancer population that does maybe better responses. We also know that right-sided and left-sided MMRD tumors, they don't have, on one side you have more MLH1 cancers, on the other side you have more MSH2 cancers, and at least studies in the metastatic setting seems to suggest that the TMB may be a bit higher for MSH2 tumors. They may have a bit more neoantigen, so that is not well known in the neoadjuvant setting still, but we can suspect that maybe it's something that will drive the difference. Another layer is that we know that the microbiota is not the same on the left side and the right side. So that is totally unknown yet, but we suspect that maybe the difference in the right side and left side of the colon or the rectum may also explain a bit of that phenomenon. But at least the strongest evidence so far is in the germline and the type of mechanism that patients they have. Even if the as a whole, it's more responses for Lynch patients than for sporadic patients so far.
And what about gastric cancer as compared to colorectal cancers?
It's a good point. So for the evidence for gastric cancer, so at the moment, because of the disease and all the trial I think that has been done so far, we have only evidence for only one duration of treatment, that is 3 months of neoadjuvant treatment, and only for anti-PD-1, anti-CTLA-4 combined. So for gastric cancer, the response rate is a bit smaller than colon cancer or colorectal cancer as a whole. So even with a longer duration of treatment than in the niche trial, for instance, 1.5 months, 1 month in niche compared to 3 months in gastric cancer, the response rate is a bit less. So compared to niche, for instance, colon, you get 68% of complete response, while in gastric cancer, you are sticking more to 55%, or in the best case scenario, the best paper that has been published so far, 75% with longer duration. What is true is that recently for gastric cancer, what has been published and discussed is that bulky tumors, more lymph node invasion may preclude deeper responses. So recently, in the most recent trials investigating this combination, the trend is to have patients with earlier stage disease, stage 1, stage 2, and avoid to have T4, for instance, in these studies. And when you do so, you observe higher response rate and higher complete response rate. That may be important for the future as well, to define better the population that is more likely to respond, and especially if we want to do organ sparing strategies for these patients.
So that may account for the difference in the INFINITY trial between cohort 1 and cohort 2, actually.
Yeah, exactly. So cohort 1 of INFINITY trial, they use the same agent, anti-PD-1 and plus anti-CTLA-4, but they nicely define, thanks to the cohort 1, the patients that were more likely to have a complete response. And in the cohort 2, they better define their inclusion criteria, excluding patients that were less likely to respond, that is only based on clinical and pathological features, having less, I would say, smaller tumors, in fact, and less lymph node invasion.
Yes, that's very interesting, those differences between gastric cancer and colorectal cancer. Focusing on the duration of treatment, is there any physiopathological explanation to this requirement for longer treatment? What kind of additional immune response would be at work after 3 months?
So it's a good point. So we start to have translational studies studying like serial biopsies, or at least at different time points. So initially, when the niche 1 trial was published, we knew that there were a recruitment of CD8 T cells in the microenvironment, and production of interferon and interferon gamma signatures in that setting at the time of surgery, so around 1 month and a half after the beginning of treatment. And in that setting, we have a very strong production of CXCL14, which is a chemokine that is very important to recruit B cells in the microenvironment and form tertiary lymphoid structures, which has been known to be associated with better long-term outcomes in multiple cancer settings, including the metastatic setting. In our own experience internally with the dostarlimab trial, we treat the patient longer with single agent. We do observe these tertiary lymphoid structures around 1 month and a half to 3 months after the start of treatment. But interestingly, in that study, we have been able to follow up at different time points, 6 months, 12 months, including 12 months after the end of treatment. And what we see is that when you do longer treatment, you observe that the tertiary infrastructure disappears. The B cells are likely going back to to the bone marrow or lymph nodes. And we see that the T cells, CD4, CD8 T cells, they come back on site, they colonize the epithelium, and they seem to be resident memory T cells. And that, I think, is key because it seems that there is a complete response as we expect, a Th1 type of response followed by a Th2 type of response contingently of TLS formation. And then we get a memory response that stay in the mucosa that may help to get, in fact, a better long-term response for this patient. What we don't know is that this memory response will help to get better prevention of the metastatic process long-term. So that is still ongoing, and it's possible that longer duration of treatment leads to more sustained and T cell activation and B cell activation and better response long term. It's something that we are investigating at the moment.
Exciting. So we understand now better what the duration of treatment is bringing and what would bring a combination of treatment as compared with single agents in terms of complete response, but also in terms of toxicity to the patient.
So it's a very good point. So in the general context of the MMRD landscape, including colorectal, we know now that anti-PD-1, anti-CTLA-4, is maybe more likely to have to make deeper response in more patients than single agent, but to the cost of higher toxicities, grade 3, grade 4 toxicities. And that, I think, it's something we have to account for, because it's doing longer combination. It's also why when the niche trial were done, they were doing short-term and low-dose ipilimumab, for instance, to get less high-grade toxicities, while the anti-PD-1 single agent does very well and the high-grade toxicities is lower. So it's easier to do longer duration of treatment. So I think the problem will be how fast you want to get a response, especially if you have symptomatic patients, what is the expected duration of treatment you want to give to your patient. Because it's not, you have to think that if we can do 3 months of ipi-nivo, or if you have to treat for 6 months with anti-PD-1, it's not exactly the same strategy. And it depends also a bit if you want to get to the organ sparing kind of strategy. And for sure, at the moment, it's a balance between what you expect as toxicity that is sometimes not predictable, compared to have a safe but longer type of duration of treatment, but maybe with a bit less complete response than the combination. So it's something that would be need to be explored, and maybe in the future we would have biomarker that will tell us which patient who need to get combination compared to single agent. So far, we don't have clues. We know that longer duration get better complete response rate, but for the combination, at the moment, we have only short-term treatments. So we don't know if we can offer with combination the same exact strategy of without any surgery, in fact.
Great conclusion. Thank you so much for this insight in the duration of neoadjuvant setting in MSI GI cancers. And we got some clues also about the type of treatment and the type of immune response. So I think that was very exciting. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to ASTO Podcast.